Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Lincoln on Lending, the weekly mortgage market update, providing up-to-the-minute information on interest rates, loan programs, and hot industry news relating to the mortgage industry. Brought to you by Mortgage Banking Solutions, enabling executives to take their business to the next level. To participate in today's program, our guest call-in line is 646-716-4972. And now, here is your host of Lincoln on Lending, David Lincoln.
Good to be with you, folks. Good to have you. As always, it's Monday the 28th. I'm looking over the screens and looking at all that we have to cover today. So much information. My gosh, it's a busy week. And that is an understatement. But we're looking forward to having our special guest with us today, Eric Sachs, a breakthrough broker. You know, many of us have worked with realtors for years. A broker is the real estate broker. And we have him talking to us about changes in what's going on with a real estate broker. I used to call on realtors years and years ago when I was in was a loan originator. And then Alice was telling me just before the broadcast, she used to be the gatekeeper, that receptionist that kept guys like me from going back in there. So we're going to find out about how that world has changed, some of the nuances, ways you can effectively communicate with the realtor that's out there. So excited to have you with us, being dialing in. Many of you are dialing in as I speak. I see the number of people dialing in on the phone, just stacking up, opening up here. So we appreciate you tuning in however you do it. Again, remember this, you can listen to us on your cell phone. You can listen to us through your computer. You can listen to us by your phone, however you want to dial in, of course, and you can download all of the broadcasts going back for now, gosh, 5 years. Amazing. Anyway, I want to say a special thank you to our sponsor, United Guaranty, for serving our industry now for 50 years. If you've been at, have you done what I've asked you to, listeners? Have you gone out and called your United Guaranty rep? If you haven't, you've got to do it. I'm telling you, they've got some programs being released, some information, and there's a lot going on in the whole MI space. And it's important that you may have your special favorite MI company. Hopefully that is United Guaranty. But I strongly recommend you be in relationship with United Guaranty. Get a hold of their rep that serves your market and your area. A lot of things to talk about, and we've got a number of new talking points that they'll be sending me and I'll be starting with next week. So good to have them with us, and thank you for the 50 years of service they've been to our industry. Also, a special thank you goes out to Velma, Velma.com. Velma stands for Virtual Electronic Marketing Assistant. Great piece of technology and great group of people that really support your marketing out to your customer base. They do it through email. They do it through direct mail. They do it through so many sources. And we've had Brent Emler on of Velma last week. It was a great broadcast, good ideas, some great content. Encourage you to go back and listen to last week's broadcast. Special thank you to Velma for being a sponsor and partnership with us. Let's get into what's happening in the market. Joe Farr, I about fell out of my chair this morning when I opened up your website and saw pending home sales, You know, way stronger than that. I mean, it's a 1% anticipated consensus we're going to see, and 3.4%. My gosh, what's going on?
It was a big miss to the good side.
Yeah, but it really hasn't. Yeah, it was a spike, but it didn't have a massive impact on rates.
Well, it caused prices to fall, you know, an eighth of a point, where since rebounding some, it also caused the stock market to rise a little bit, and that's given back most of those gains, and so it had an effect, but
short-term,
apparently not a very lasting one. Yeah. But, you know, it's interesting. March, the pending home sales number that came out is for March, and it's for contracts signed on existing homes. As you said, it came out much better than what people thought, and it was the first time it's increased in the last eight months. So it's a good indication of, you know, what we might see as far as activity in the months ahead. Now, it's much like the new home sales number, which is also a measure of signed contracts. So it's not based on closings. It's before closing. So it's a forward looking sort of measure. But it's interesting that new home sales were dismal, you know, a terrible new home sales number.
Yeah.
So his contracts on new home sales in March were bad, according to the survey, and contracts on existing home sales were good. And certainly we want the contracts on existing home sales to be good if one's going to be good and one's going to be bad, because new home sales are only 10% of the market. So part of the difference is, I think, in the sample size. You know, you're measuring 10% versus 90% of something, and the sample is going to be better on the bigger of the two. Plus, the contracts on existing home sale or on new home sales probably had some weather effect. You know, things were not good in December, January, and February, and it takes a while for builders to get inventory on the ground. So that might have been part of it. But, you know, that good number on contracts on existing home sales is a better indication and I think reason to be a little more optimistic than what the new home sales number showed.
It was a welcome number, and especially compared to that. Now, what's interesting about new home sales, as you pointed out last week, it really contributes more to GDP along with housing starts than does existing home sales. So it's interesting to see the impact. Well, it's only 10% of the market, but it does have a bigger, much bigger impact than GDP. So anyway, let's I'm sorry, I was so wanting to get your analysis on that. Let's talk about what happened last week.
Well, last week, it was really just a reversal of what happened the week before. You might remember that mortgage rates rose about 8 basis points the short week before Easter. And there wasn't a lot of reason for that. There wasn't a lot of news. There wasn't a lot of you know, anything that would push economists to change their expectations for, you know, what's going on with economic growth, et cetera. And some of that might have had some Ukraine influence, and that there had been a little rally the week before that. And so we're going to see the headlines out of Ukraine having some impact on both the bond and the stock market until we get to some sort of resolution over there. So look for that volatility to continue. But last week was just a reversal of that pre-Easter week. We had an improvement of about 8 basis points last week. And, the data last week was really better than most people expected. And in most categories, durable orders was much better than what people thought. Consumer sentiment, which came out on Friday, was the best it's been in months. But the weakness last week was all in the housing data. As we mentioned, the actual sales of existing homes in March were pretty much what was expected, pretty much what was seen in February. But then we've already talked about the new home sales in March, or the contract signed on for new home sales in March, was a big disappointment.
Big. Yeah, the big, big disappointment.
But, hey, we got a lot going on this week.
Boy, this week is loaded up.
It really is. And it's interesting, if you look at all the consensus forecasts, every event this week is expected to be better than it was in the prior month, and really pretty good. All that is with the exception of first quarter GDP, which is a measure of things in the past, so it's not as significant to what might be going forward. But first quarter GDP is expected to be only 1%. As compared to 2.6% in the fourth quarter. So it's a big slowdown in January, February, and March. But looking at the other announcements, consumer confidence comes out tomorrow. It's supposed to be better than what they have seen in the past. Chicago PMI on Wednesday, ISM on Thursday, and then non-farm payrolls comes out on Friday.
Big payroll day consensus. Friday.
Yeah, the consensus is 210,000 jobs. That's not that much more than the month before, but it is more, and expecting the unemployment rate to drop from 6.7 to 6.6. But the big event, if those aren't enough, is the Fed meeting.
The FOMC.
It starts tomorrow. And the statement's going to be read at 2 p.m. on Wednesday. There'll be no press conference with this one. The current expectations are no change in the schedule on the taper. People will be looking for what kind of forward guidance the Fed comes out with. It was interesting, CNBC did a survey this morning, or discussed a survey this morning, in which the majority of the economists that responded are looking for the taper schedule to be as they've said, so a little bit at each meeting throughout the remainder of this year. One of the things they talked about, and no one really talks about, the Fed's continuing to invest proceeds of payoffs, and that's still a pretty big number. That's $10 to $15 billion
yeah.
a month these days. Economists are starting, are expecting the Fed to begin to stop reinvesting the payoff proceeds around the middle of 2015. Which is also about the same time the Fed funds rate is expected to be raised for the first time. So, yeah, big week. Wednesday's GDP first, Fed statement later in the day, ISM on Thursday, and jobs report on Friday. So, be a big week.
Huge
Probably
week.
Be some volatility. Yeah.
Yeah, especially if we have another surprise like we saw this morning on existing home sales. So, folks, stay tuned. If you do not have this service, I'm parked on this all the time. I have it open on my cell phone. I got it on my iPad. If I'm away from my office, I'm checking it constantly. And I don't have a pipeline to manage, but we do have some clients that do, so we do monitor it closely. We're going to be right back after the break with Paul Mollow. He's back. Several people commented they missed him. Well, he's back, and he's got a lot to talk about. Can't wait to hear his comments on Fannie and Freddie here in just a minute. We'll be right back right after this brief break.
Looking for that competitive edge? MBS Quoteland delivers live market coverage for originators. Get up-to-the-minute mortgage market news and analysis as events occur. Get MBS prices as trades happen. Straight to your computer, email, cell phone, or PDA. Know in advance when your investors will reprice. Make better lock-float decisions and increase your income. Be the expert your clients expect and know what's moving interest rates right now, tomorrow, and beyond. MBS Quoteline, delivering live market coverage for originators. Learn more about MBS Quoteline today at MBSQuoteLine.com. MBSQuoteLine.com. 646-716-4972. The Lincoln on Lending Show is back. Here is your host, David Lincoln.
It's good to have you with us, and it's also good to have back with us Paul Mollow. Paul, how is your world? You were away from us. We missed you, and some of our listeners definitely noticed it. And they said, Lincoln, you did a good job of going over the site, but it's just not the same as we hear the Mollow talking. So Mollow mulling over the news. So I'm looking at the website. I'm looking at it. You see your article on FHFA and FMIC wants ability to examine lenders directly. Now, that is kind of interesting. So what?
Oh, yeah.
A lot of good.
Oh, oh yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Well, listen.
Turn your
head off. Yeah, I know. The comment, apparently, Treasury Department asked Fannie Freddie and FIFA, I like to call them FIFA, not like that soccer body called FIFA, but FHFA, to comment on Johnson Crapo. This broke in the Journal over the weekend. Journal did a nice job breaking them, but they didn't get into the details of the comment letter, so we started looking at them this morning. And if you read the FIFA's comments on Johnson Crapo, they're talking about, you know, regulating the counterparties and regulating, not just regulating the MBS issuers, but, you know, the people selling the loans into the securities. And they want the ability, according to their comment letters, to basically, you know, do counterparty risk and examine the mortgage bankers that are securitizing. And that's pretty interesting news.
It
opens up a whole new level in theory of regulation for mortgage bankers.
Oh.
I had heard a rumor a couple of weeks ago that maybe the Mortgage Bankers Association wasn't too thrilled with Johnson Crapo and they were going to come out against it, and that's not the case. But if you're looking for a reason not to like Johnson Crapo, another level of examination is a pretty good reason. You know, you just throw up your arms and say,
yes.
How many more hoops do I have to jump through? I'm dealing with the CFPB now, and now I got to deal with FMIC. And anyway, the comment letter is something like 40 pages. I'm going to read the rest later on. But I think there's some more nuggets in there. But it's interesting the fact that Treasury asked them to even, you know, comment on the thing. It's an interesting development.
Yeah, I was going to say, but you go read Mark Fogarty's article. I got privileged to be quoted in a lot. So your old employer, Mark, I know he's
right.
a friend, but you have to go read that article. I love your thoughts on my commentary on that because I just said more regulation. Oh my gosh! And then it just sounds like another backstop. The federal government is always the backstop. You put the feds in anyway. So anyway, CFPB. Let's go into that. Itching for more LO compensation violations.
Yeah, that's we had a webinar last week, and one of the things that came up, one of the speakers mentioned, they mentioned the Castle and Cook case, mm-hmm. which you know had to do with supposedly some loan officers were steering consumers into certain higher cost loans because they got paid a bonus on it, and that's obviously a big no-no under the new regime. And one of the attorneys on the call. Basically said, you know, hold on to your seats. The CFPB's, you know, looking at doing more of these. So, you know, we decided to play that up a bit today. We also have a story by Brandon Ivey of our staff who runs Inside Nonconforming Markets. He got into the first quarter jumbo numbers, and, you know, lo and behold, we have 93 different lenders. Yeah, 93 different lenders. A lot of these are smaller players feeding the four deals in the first quarter. So we decided to report on that a bit because smaller players don't always get the kind of attention. Also, there's not always good disclosures on some of these deals where you're not necessarily – you don't know who's feeding into these securities. But it's, you know, it's of interest. We also have a story, an exclusive about PennyMac. Apparently is the one buying $8 billion or so in Ginnie Mae servicing from Bank of America. And the reason this is interesting, this is the deal that's being held up by Ginnie Mae because there's some missing pool documents that B of A needs to take care of. I'm told the deal's going to go through, but the fact that Ginnie Mae's holding up the transaction is news in of itself. So we also have a story by George Brooks about FHA origination starting to slide in the first couple months of the year. That's not surprising, but keep in mind that FHA is a big part of the first-time homebuyer market. And, you know, now that the MIs are back at, you know, a strength and they're starting to take more risks on their book of business, it'll be interesting to see if, you know, we see more of the new home buyer market shift over back to Fannie Freddie. So that's something to watch. In the short take section, we have a story by Tom Ressler of our staff. He quotes, Joe Garrett of Garrett McCauley always writes an interesting little note to his clients every week. And we pick one out there about one of the mortgage officials whose company was being looked at by the CFPB. Apparently, the CFPB felt the guy was lying and they wanted him to go under oath when asking questions. You know, Garrett didn't name who the lender was or the executive, but that's pretty darn interesting. Have a little practice dealing with the CFPB, but it's, mm-hmm. you know, it's fascinating that there's some heavy-handed tactics going on at the CFPB. You know, it's just a fascinating story. We also have there's some rumors about another J.P. Morgan Chase jumbo deal. We'll see what happens there. And CoFinancial, which is running this sort of mortgage alternative program, just raised, or I shouldn't say raised, they have a line of credit for $250 million. That's an interesting program where the consumer gets to live in the house in a sort of a sale leaseback, but they don't actually own the house, and they have like 6 years to get a mortgage. So it's sort of a lease with an option to own. And that's an interesting development, CoFinancial. So that's all the good stuff, and I'm back.
You're back. Back strong
I'm back.
As ever. Man, lots of good information. So I think David Stevens may be starting to compete with you for the amount of news stories that he pumps out. I've been on his Facebook page this morning. Man, that guy writes and posts a lot of stories. It's just really good. So it's always fun to see the two of you competing on there. We got to get him back on there.
Well, just retweeting other people's work. We try and write our own stuff, unlike some of our
competitors
that use Bloomberg copy left and right, but I'm not going to mention names.
You do a good job. I really appreciate you staying on top of the stories. You do an excellent job, but we're thrilled to have you here. Greet everyone around there from us, and we look forward to having you back. You're going to be back next week, aren't you?
I
back?
Think so, unless, no, I'll be here. Sounds like a kid now.
All right. All right. Well, thank you, Paul. Have a great week.
Thank you. Have
folks,
a good one.
There's always so – you bet, friend. Appreciate you. So much information going on in the industry, and it's just so many resources out there. And so I was emailing Stevens or sent him a message earlier. I said, I think we may start a new segment on the radio program. It says Stevens updates on Stevens – Facebook post by David Stevens on what's going on in the industry. It's really amazing how he's out there working away. Anyway, we'll be right back after this brief word. So much to talk about. Well, no, we're going to go right into Alice Alvey. Ah, my gosh, I'm jumping the gun here, Alice. I'm so sorry. I had it in my mind, Alice, that he was going to come after you because he said he was going to be dialing late. What is going on in the regulatory world, Alice Alvey? So much fun. Is
well,
it warmed
you know,
up there
always,
at all?
We're always on our toes, right? You just kind of wait each day to go, is there going to be something else that drops that we have to watch? And I'm glad Paul brought up about Fannie and Freddie. You know, so for those of you who haven't read the acronym, it's the Federal Mortgage Insurance Corporation that's part of, you know, the Senate bill. So essentially, I've been trying to find like an exact day when they may be meeting this week, but it does look like the bill might get a look. Joe, you were asking, you might have had some questions about this, but if you think about how fast can something move in Congress, and this congressional session ends January 3rd, right? We only have, you know, essentially 7 months left to be able to get anything done, and in there you have summer break and holiday breaks. So the reality of something actually getting somewhere in completion is really slim. So it'll be interesting to see if this actually does move forward this week. If it doesn't, it's hard, and it would have to really have the gas pedal under it to be able to get anywhere. And for those of you who are trying to decide if this is a big thing or not, do I care that you know we're coming up with this type of a change? Do I like the status quo? There would be some very substantial changes, but as you know, it would take a long time for it to to wind up or wind down, however you want to look at it. So we'll keep you posted next week if it actually does move forward because the final version hasn't been published yet. We can talk, too, if you want to take a look at what some of the notes were. It was previously Senate Bill 1217 that they were using as the model that they're working with right now. So we'll know more later this week. The other thing is we have a couple of proposed rules out there that you do want to watch. Now, overall, in terms of having to devote resources to jump on them, they're just ones that we need to get. So the first proposed rule is about FHA eliminating the interest due at the time of the payoff. As you know, right now, when you pay off an FHA loan, you essentially, the person having the loan has to owe the full month of interest. And even though that may make its way through the rule stage through this, it's got to move kind of fast. So it's got to get through this year because by January 15th, these loans, FHA loans, need to be cleared of having any kind of prepayment penalty in order to be still in the QM safe harbor. So we'll be watching this to make sure it meets its deadline. It won't happen before that. I can't imagine FHA gives up the revenue any sooner, right, because that's money for them.
Mm-hmm.
But
yeah.
They need to make sure they're up and ready and giving us a mortgagee letter by the end of the year so that we're ready for closings as of January 5th, I'm sure it'll be case numbers as of January 15th. The other rule that we're watching that has a comment period open right now is the comment period is open until June 9th regarding the AMC regulations. So those of you who are at companies who may have appraisal management companies, you really want to read this to see what the implications are going to be. And then for those of you who work closely with AMCs, you'll find you might be happy with some of the regulations that are coming towards them to be registered and more closely scrutinized. So there will be more audit that is going to be needed as a result for the AMCs themselves. They'll have to go through getting be under much more scrutiny from the audit standpoint. So those are the two big proposed rules, and, of course, watching to see if we actually get any legs under Fannie and Freddie right now. And those are my tips for today, Dave. I'm excited to talk about realtors.
I am too, especially knowing that you have the history that you do of having sit at that front desk and torturing guys like me going through the front door. So Eric's going to have some good information. But that's really some interesting things going on. Again, anything that is I was surprised at that. I'd love to get your commentary on FHFA coming in and starting to have direct access. What are your thoughts on that? I was just
astounded that they would be trying to come in and do more. It's like, what the heck?
And I'm sorry, direct access to, I guess I missed
the mortgage. Paul mentioned in his segment that they want to have direct access to be able to audit mortgage companies directly instead of just having CFP.
I think he's right. I mean, I think the last thing we need is one more set of auditors in. Now, the CFPB, and, you know, you have there's already collaboration going on between the CFPB and the FTC and the other regulators. So it's already possible that the sharing of information is just simply triggering another agency to come in and audit you who may not have been looking at you before. So this is just another layer. It really plays to the point of you need your own internal auditor on an annual basis. I've talked to so many mortgage companies lately who are pursuing their Fannie Mae ticket, and they're finding it a surprise. What's an internal audit? What does this mean? You know, and you have to actually go through it. Like, you need to have somebody come in and conduct, you know, the accounting, the operational review on an annual basis, and then you'll be prepared in the event some other entity wants to get added to the list to conduct an audit of your operations.
Very interesting. It's also fascinating. By the way, Alice, you're very digital. I just want to tell our listeners, no, it's not your radio. It's not your recording device. There's some digital effects that go into her voice right now for some reason. We're all using voice over IP right now, and it's just one of those things. And you're dialing into a voice over IP broadcast. So it's amazing this whole darn thing works, Alice. But I just want to let our listeners know it's not there on their end. It is on your end on the digital effects that are happening there. Alice, thank you so much for bringing us this latest information.
You're
welcome. So much appreciate you being here as you are all the time. So, folks, we'll be right back after this brief break.
Looking for a full-service mortgage training and consulting company to fit exactly what you need? Mortgage U is your ultimate education and information resource used by lenders to execute high-impact, high-quality training throughout the organization. Mortgage U instructors are mortgage professionals providing classroom and web-based delivery and has the most sought-after training manuals in the country. Mortgage U has a proven track record performing customized training programs for hundreds and even thousands of employees both live and online on everything from application through loan delivery and insuring. Call Mortgage U today at 800-278-0200 or visit us online at mortgage-u.com. Welcome back to Lickin' on Lending. Our guest call-in line is 646-716-4972. And now here's David Lickin.
Good to have you back with us. Our good friend Tony Garitano just emailed me. Says, I can't believe I have to miss the broadcast. So he says to say hello to everybody. So, Tony, thank you. Be sure to check out his website, www.progressinlending.com. Say the W's really fast. www.progressinlending.com. Or email Tony at tony@progressinlending.com. Profit Doctor. You don't have to say www. Profit Doctor, at least. We can just say go right to Profit Doctor.
No, you have to say www.mbsprofitdoctor.com.
Yes, there you go. Yeah, well, anyway, it's good to have you on the broadcast. What words of wisdom do you have? And always listen for your metaphors. Your metaphors are priceless. So what you got for us, my friend?
Well, I'm going to talk about symbiotic relationships. And
symbiosis, okay.
There's a really interesting reference to symbiotic relationships. I was watching the movie Star Wars Number 1, The Phantom Menace. This is the one when we have Jar Jar Binks that lives in the Gungan world under the sea, and the Naboo live up on the surface, and the Naboo is about to get wiped out by the Trade Federation, and so Obi-Wan is saying to the head of the Gungans that surely you realize that you live on this planet in a symbiotic relationship with the Naboo. And he goes on to discredit it, but it goes on to be true. And so the point of it was that even though one group may live on the surface and the other one may live under the sea, they support the ecosystem of the planet equally and jointly. And if one fails, they both fail. And that really struck me. I started thinking about that. And it even reminded me of a point that you've made many, many times before, Dave, in talking about the mentality of a mortgage company and looking at the mortgage company as a whole and looking at the parts that make the whole, from production, processing, underwriting, closing, secondary, you know, shipping, mortgage company management, all these parts fit together symbiotically. They are all dependent one upon the other. The relationship, symbiotic means that the relationship provides a mutual benefit or dependence for both, and none survive without the other. And so we look at a mortgage company, and I know we're talking more and more about production strategies, and that's one of the things we're talking about today and last week with the show was on production strategy and different ways of addressing database marketing. And so I think one of the things that as we look around the country, and I know you see this very clearly, in fact, so this is kind of your point, is that the mortgage company where the employees exist symbiotically, where production respects underwriting and underwriting respects processing and processing respects secondary and secondary respects production and management kind of weaves throughout the whole thing and creates the glue for everybody to work together and interact together, working where they all accept the fact that they are all there for each other's mutual benefit and dependence. And without one, you don't have the other. Because we so often see, sometimes in production, sometimes in secondary marketing, the prima donna effect, where you're only here because of me. If it wasn't for me, you wouldn't be here at all. Well, you have to have all of it. It's not just one or the other. It's the team. It's everybody working together to make the company successful. And I think, not to steal your thunder, but you believe that the new, as it relates to some of this production stuff, is this point exactly, that the new successful
exactly.
future mortgage company is going to be the one where management leads the company in a way that everybody exists and cohabitates within the company, supporting each other, understanding that their relationship is there for their own mutual benefit, dependence, and respect, and without each other, we fail. So I think that's cool. That's how it needs to be. That's how it's going to be. So that's the trait of a successful company. And I thought that was really cool.
So good.
Plus, it's in Star Wars.
Yeah.
So there you go.
Plus, I love the Star Wars. I mean, it's always fun to pull those metaphors out and the storylines out and relate it to what's going on. Alice and I were having a conversation on Friday because she and I are speaking together at two state conferences. We're speaking at the upcoming Indianapolis conference, Indiana conference, Mortgage Bankers Conference, and also at the Michigan Mortgage Lenders Association, MMLA, up in Mackinac Island in August. And we're talking about our topic there, Prophet Doctor, and you nailed it because that's exactly what I suggested as a title is New World, New Relationships, Production and Compliance, choosing to respect and coexist positively, or if you don't, I do fear there's going to be some tragic consequences and companies are not going to be there, or the people that are not doing that, going along with that concept, are going to be gone. So it's fascinating you'd hit on that today. Very, very good. Very, very insightful. I always love it.
Well, we also don't forget, we also have to remember our OBSS, Optimal Blue Secondary Services, Secondary Interactive.
Yes, they sponsor the Prophet Doctor segment, and if you are not aware of OB, which is Optimal Blue Secondary Interactive Hedging Service, then you've got to get a hold of them. And what is their website? Have they updated their website, Andy? I'm just scrambling. I need to put.
Well, you just go to Optimal Blue and then look for Secondary Services, or you can go to Secondary Interactive. Either one.
They're
changing the name.
Active.
I don't
know
why they changed the name. You know, I can't say Optimal Blue Secondary Services. I have to say Secondary Interactive. I don't know why they did that, but they did, and so we're going to respect their identity direction and consolidate all of it. So if you really look at the Optimal Blue organization and all the pieces and parts that fit together, it's really, really quite impressive.
It is. It's a great group of people, and we're thrilled to have them as a sponsor of your segment, The Prophet Doctor. So it's good. Appreciate it so much. So much wisdom flowing out of you. Appreciate it. And, folks, we've got just a lot coming up here in just a minute right after the break as we're going to be coming back with the co-founder of Breakthrough Broker, Eric Sachs. I'm looking forward to you coming to us from Colorado Springs.
Looking forward to that. Folks, we'll be right back after this brief break.
Mortgage Banking Solutions is the preeminent management consulting firm to the residential mortgage lending industry. No other firm in the U.S. offers the menu of services or the level of expertise to the industry.
If you're looking for help converting from best efforts to hedging or need help with bookkeeping to know your profit per loan,
if you are interested in making the transition from broker to banker, or if you just need a roadmap for success,
Mortgage Banking Solutions' primary focus is to enable executives to take their business to the next level and guide them down a path towards success and profitability. With over 300 combined years of experience in all facets of mortgage lending, the Mortgage Banking Solutions team of professionals has the expertise and know-how to help you accomplish your goals. New warehouse lines of credit,
broker-to-banker transitions, transitioning to hedging, financial and accounting services, or meeting your capitalization needs.
If you need help with these or any other aspects of your business, please contact a Mortgage Banking Solutions sales team to see how we can help you at 512-977-9900. That's 512-977-9900. Mortgage Banking Solutions, enabling executives to take their business to the next level.
Good to have you back. It's Monday, the 28th. We say that at the top of every broadcast and also at the beginning of the Hot Topic segment, so you're aware of what segment you're listening to, what day you're listening to. Many download these and listen to them in a series, and we'll go back and listen to several. We appreciate you guys being a part of our broadcast, making it possible, of course, of our sponsors. We have a special guest. We're really excited about all the special guests we have coming on here. So much knowledge. I'm really excited about today's special guest. But before I go there, I want to give a special shout-out to Casey Cunningham. She called me on Friday. We had a most delightful conversation. It was just a real joy to talk with Casey. And we're going to have her scheduled as a guest in June or July. We're working on getting it out. We both have so much information out there, but Casey will be coming on. But Jessica Peterson, who will be our guest next week, talking about social media and some of the pitfalls of using social media and how to do it wisely, is actually the one that introduced me to our next guest, Eric Sachs. She said, Dave, you or a lot of your listeners work with realtors, and Eric has really got a great message and a great service, and there's a lot of information he has that your listeners, I think, would benefit from as he is working with them so closely. So welcome to the broadcast, Eric. Appreciate you taking time this morning to dial in and be with us.
Well, thank you, David. It's awesome to be here. I really appreciate the opportunity to be on with you guys.
A little background on Eric. He had 13 years in law enforcement. Then he and a friend started a real estate business, got involved in real estate. Their company was bought up by a large originator, conglomerate. And very soon thereafter, he went out and formed a Breakthrough Broker, which is a really unique business model. It's a resource that's free to realtors. It is actually, the expenses are actually covered, or he makes his money by helping mortgage companies and title professionals get introduced into meaningful relationships with realtors. So, Eric, I just want to get, do I have that right? Do we need to do any tweaking of how to represent your business? I was on your website last night looking through it, and also your LinkedIn page, all very good stuff. So I want to make sure if there's any corrections to that, let's make sure we get that out there now.
No, you got it. You got it correct. Our passion when we ran our real estate company was training and seeing agents succeed and seeing those agents go from 10 homes a year to 20 homes a year or 20 homes to 40 homes a year. So when our company was acquired by a large national franchise, we chose not to go to work for them and build Breakthrough Broker. And for lack of a better analogy, we're building the WebMD for the real estate professional.
Well, you have done a great job on really building some effective tools for them. We have some realtors listen to the broadcast, hope to get more. But really, what I wanted to focus on is the realtor themselves. And we have many originators and those that are focused. The whole focus is shifting to retail production. The most effective way to do that is through realtors. And I don't know if you know this data point, but Paul Mollo reported last week that mortgage originations are at a 14-year low. And that is shocking. And so the fact that more and more people are looking for how to establish a really meaningful relationship with a realtor. So I want to get into that. You commented in the real estate agent's value proposition to the consumer has changed drastically in the last several years. And I'd like to have you explain that for our listeners, please.
Yeah, absolutely. And for those of the listeners who were around in 2003, and this will probably resonate with everybody. So if you look at how the consumer found a home or listed a home in 2003 or 2004, you know, 10 years ago, the consumer actually may have driven around looking for homes. They may have seen a yard sign and actually may have called a real estate company. They were using print publications. I don't know if anyone on the call remembers Homes and Land, where And so Homes and Land was as big as my wife's, you know, like Cosmopolitan. You could actually kill a fly with it back then. If in your marketplace, if you see a Homes and Land now, I mean, it can't even kill an insect. They're super thin. I don't know how they're succeeding. So back in 2003, the consumer needed the real estate agent. They needed the agent to maybe do some comparisons or to see what was sold in the neighborhood. And if you were a real estate agent, you were sitting at a real estate company in the front, in the office, you might actually get a phone call. Forward that 10 years to today, to 2014. The real estate, the consumer can sit at breakfast and with their husband or wife, pop open their phone, and actually see all of the active listings within a mile or 2 mile radius. Then they can go and see all the pictures they need, all the videos they need of these listings, and they can find all the data. They can see what's sold in the neighborhood for the past 6 months or a year. They can do their own comparison. So, and then they can, maybe they don't even get in the car. So this is where our value proposition has changed. And you know, and for you, mortgage professionals on the call, how many closings have you sat in recently where the consumer looks at the settlement sheet and then looks at the realtor and says, and this is a true story, this happened to me, looks at the realtor and says, man, I can't believe you made so much money. I found the home on Zillow. Right?
I mean, yeah. Isn't that interesting?
Over and over. And when I was managing agents, they'd come into my office crying, saying, my clients didn't think, you know, I deserved the money I made. And so our value proposition is no longer finding people homes or even listing homes for people, maybe, because in some markets a lot of people can load their own listings onto Zillow. So it's really, really changed my value proposition, and that's what I'm searching for these days. I don't find people homes anymore.
Wow. Fascinating. Well, Eric, this is Joe. Yeah.
Hi, Joe.
It is. But it begs the question of, with that big a change in the realtor's focus, how does that impact how mortgage originators should deal with that?
Well, I think it's really important for the mortgage originator to understand what's going on in our world. So now the realtor is really, really pushing hard to show value. We have to show why the consumer needs a real estate professional. And the mortgage originator needs to know that we're being sold to by so many different organizations. So I'm getting calls from Zillow and Realtor.com and Trulia and every other local organization trying to get my business, trying to get our data, trying to get us to join. And so the mortgage professional is just another person in our noisy world as realtors, and all we really want to do is sell more homes, find more clients, and show value. So the mortgage professional really has to understand this, because in my opinion, the old way of trying to get business from me, and in this world, you guys talked about this earlier in past shows, with purchase business really being a focus of the mortgage professional now, and most purchase business coming your way through the realtor referral. If you need to build your realtor relationships, understanding that I have a very difficult value proposition is the first step in getting our business and being able to engage us in certain ways.
That's fairly fascinating. Is understanding the changing world of the real estate agent, how would you create new relationships with realtors and to drive the purchase business? What is the key? Is there a key, Eric?
I think so. I think
effectively establishing that relationship?
Absolutely. I think the mortgage professional now more than ever has to place themselves as an invaluable resource to the agent's business. And so You know, the last segment from the Profit Doctor is a perfect example. He talked about symbiotic relationships. And if you look at the real estate transaction, as hard as it is these days with the mortgage process and title issues coming from what happened a couple years ago and my value proposition being difficult, if you look at it much the same way as you guys were talking about how a successful mortgage company is, you have to be a successful piece of this relationship. And so you have to make yourself literally an invaluable resource to the agent business, not necessarily just being a great mortgage professional, because really, if you're sitting in my shoes, you really all look the same. And I know that's a terrible thing to say, but I talk to mortgage professionals all over the country, and I ask them, what's your competitive advantage? And if I hear we have a great company, we have great closers, we have great processors, and we always get the job done, that's the same thing that their competitors are saying all over the country. And they, in their given location, I feel like the mortgage professional has to create a competitive advantage and be seen by me in a different light and be an invaluable resource to my business. Because, again, real estate professionals are hard to work with, right? And we're all over the place. And
I'm
really,
chuckling with that because I still have scars from those.
Right? The old guys, yes. The only thing we care about, and I say this when I teach my classes to real estate agents throughout the country, really the only thing we care about is one thing, and it's not rate. It's not anything you do on the mortgage side. The only thing we care about as a real estate agent is selling more homes, finding more clients, and creating a great business. So if you insert yourself as an invaluable resource to building my business, I really feel that that's the one way to get business over and over and over and develop new relationships. And you can't just say it. You have to be able to put your money where your mouth is. So if you go to a lunch with a realtor and it's a new realtor lunch, and you want to set yourself apart, and you say, I really care about you making more money this year. You have to be prepared as a mortgage professional to help the agent with that. You can't just say it anymore.
So welcome to the show, Eric. I have, you know, my first job was working at a real estate office and as the receptionist. So as Dave was joking around, I was the one that had to stop the loan officers from going in the back room.
Right?
I got a feeling you did a good job for that,
Alex. But it was in the days of typewriters and carbon paper and all of that, you know,
right.
And a big book behind the desk. It was, and so I'm interested to hear you talk about the fact that they may believe that there's so much competition that they don't help people find houses. So if I'm a loan officer, am I going to go through all this work? I'm going to help, you know, get more business, but then, you know, I have my challenges with it's still frustration, and then they turn around and use somebody else, or the buyer doesn't, you know, get their mortgage with me. I mean, how do I make that part of it work? It seems like it's a challenging relationship. You can do a lot of work and then not end up with the deal.
It is, and I hear that from mortgage professionals we work with all the time. You know, Eric, it's great. I love your ideas. I want to help agents with their business plan, and I want to help them create a marketing plan, and I want to sponsor education for realtors. But then they just use someone else, and so I found it maddening. And so I've seen it, and I agree, and I understand that, and a lot of the listeners might be thinking the exact same thing we're talking about right now. But I'm a huge believer in the fact that there is no relationship bank, meaning you can't wait for tit for tat. You can't wait and feel, oh, man, I've given so much to this agent, he didn't give me the business. I saw it. I managed hundreds of agents through hundreds of transactions, and I saw the people who came into my business and wanted business from my realtors. They just kept coming in and coming in and coming in, and eventually, even if they were number two, they'd become number one. But the most important thing is, as you're doing this, is to ask for the business. And I see so often from the mortgage professional that they go to networking events and they just show up and they feel that that's, you know, important. And they sponsor education and they bring the coffee and donuts or the sandwiches or buy drinks for everyone afterwards. And that's the win there. But really, the win is asking for the business. You have to still, just like the old days, ask for the business. So as you're being an invaluable resource, you can't forget to let the agent know, I really expect the loan next time you have a buyer.
Well, Eric, with all of the Facebook and Twitter and all these new and relationship database marketing and all the ways of getting in front of people that sometimes work, sometimes don't work as well, you just mentioned about kind of a traditional real estate networking process with a realtor, with the originator going to an event and buying drinks or, you know, participating in some respect. So do you believe in the traditional real estate marketing strategy?
I do not. I mean, if you look at it, and Alice had said before, she used to be the gatekeeper, companies don't need gatekeepers anymore. What's really evolved is, and this happens over and over for me, I was in a 300-agent company at a very large, I was in a 300-agent REMAX company several months ago, and there were three agents in the office. And the front desk woman had looked at me and kind of snickered and said, actually, for a Thursday afternoon, that's a lot. It's such a mobile industry right now. Agents are working from their iPads and their smartphones and their laptops, and you can be in any company and only find a couple of agents. And so if you're doing traditional type of, and I'll get to networking in a second, but if you're doing traditional types of Popeyes or you're going to meet real estate agents at the office, you're not going to find them there. And the traditional networking events, I went to a young professionals event from a 6,000 agent realtor board in Denver. And I went to the event, and there was 180 people at the event. You know how many realtors were there?
How many?
There was 80. And the listeners on this call, I bet this resonates with them, who go to these events. There was 80 realtors at the event. There was 100 of them, 100 mortgage professionals, 100 title inspectors, all trying to get our business, right? So there was only 80 agents. And you know what's funny is it's the same 80 agents at every event. So if you're paying money as an LO to be part of these organizations, you take all your time and money to go to these events, you're seeing the same 80 agents. You're competing with every other, with all your competition. If I was to start doing loans tomorrow, I would never go to any of these events. Now, I'm not telling any of the listeners to just stop doing traditional networking, because in a lot of local marketplaces, they're expected to be at these events. But I don't believe that the traditional marketing, the way a lot of the trainers are teaching, you know, mortgage sales these days to meet people, is working. And so I think there needs to be alternative networking. I think there's a great way. There's a need. So if you're into networking and you're also into understanding what my life is like right now as a realtor and my value proposition, then maybe you create a networking group that's your own. Maybe you create a mastermind group, or you create as a mortgage professional in a local market, maybe you create an accountability group, because as realtors, we're infamously unaccountable, right? Because, you know, we just never implement anything. We have great ideas, but, you know, maybe you help your agents implement through implementing your own networking. And so I really believe LOs have to be creative in this marketplace and go out and find alternative ways to meet with agents. And social media is a whole nother a way of doing it. I know you're talking to Jessica next week about it.
Well, everything you're saying makes complete sense, and at the same time, it kind of feels a little bit like the seismic shift is happening below our feet, and we better watch out because the tsunami's coming soon. And Dave likes to use that analogy, and this what you're saying to me sounds it's making sense, but it's also sounding revolutionary at the same time.
Well, you know, I hope that there's a lot of training going on out there, and there's a lot of different ideas on how to get our attention. But I hope some of this is resonating with listeners, and some of the alternative ways of entering our world, I really believe, will be different from your competition and really pay off with your business in the long run.
I want to get here. Go ahead, Joe. Yeah.
Yeah, you've used the real estate realtor's value proposition a number of times. Can you elaborate on today? What does a realtor consider his or her value proposition? Because that might help people focus in on where they can be of most value.
Yeah, Joe. Good question.
That's a great question. So the data no longer is our value, right? So finding you know, comparisons and being able to list the property, you know, we still do those things, but it can be done elsewhere. So what we teach our realtors is that the value proposition is them. The value proposition is their local expertise. So if I was to be selling again back in my market and I would be a master at building rapport, and I'd let my clients know that I understand the local market like no one else. You know, if someone wanted to give me a call, I'd understand all of the 5 different curriculums at the local school board, the school district, and I'd be able to recite the curriculum, and I'd be able to take them on school tours. I'd be able to tell them where the best burger joints are and, you know, where the local hockey team plays, and then help them through the process of real estate and creating the kind of experience that they're going to want to call me again at. Because all the little things, like in the past, like being able to give them all of the solds and being able to send them all of the homes that we're going to go see next week, those things just, they're just doing it themselves on Zillow. And so we have to focus on the experience. We have to focus on what we personally are good at. You know, I was an ex-police officer, and I was a SWAT negotiator. So I always told all my clients, look, I negotiated people out of hurting themselves. I promise you I can negotiate the best price in the shortest amount of time.
That's a great analogy.
Right?
Yeah.
We want to enhance, we want to enhance the realtor's ability to talk about their personal strength. And as a mortgage professional, you can help with that. You can help the realtor truly be a local expert by sitting down with your realtor and really explaining what the school curriculums are, what the benefits of living in the community are. And you guys can work, you know, in, you know, as a symbiotic team in creating this new value rather than having the data be the value.
So I hate to jump in here, Eric, but I have to throw up a compliance flag, though. I mean, we can't say, as mortgage professionals, we can't say one thing about the local schools. So to me, that in terms of kind of helping with the local market, we get trained to the hilt on what I can't say about anything that would influence somebody into a particular geographic region. You know,
interesting, Alice.
Alice, that's the consumer. In my opinion, you cannot do that with the consumer at all. So I agree. But you can direct a realtor to all of the resources the school district has on their own website. So there's nothing that precludes you on a compliance basis of sending the school district link to your realtor partners and saying, here are the 4 different curriculums. If you're interested in really understanding what the curriculums are, read this, right? That wouldn't be a compliance issue if you're dealing with your realtors, right?
Well, I guess as a company, I would just say to folks, you know, they would have to clear that with their company, that the company doesn't mind that you step in that arena. And then realtors still have to be careful, you know, because they can't steer somebody either. So if you're talking about teaching them to, or as a realtor, I'm just going to talk about all of the curriculums in these areas that you're looking at and not just highlight one in particular. You know, so
right.
I think there's just a word of caution I'm just throwing in there. But I love the idea of the negotiations, because I know in the homes I've bought, sometimes I just stare at my realtor going, really? You're not helping me at all here.
Right.
Yeah.
They don't know the first thing about negotiation. They think their job is to just make sure that form gets filled in right, and it's up to you and the seller to haggle back and forth to reach the middle.
Alex, you bring up a great point, so I agree. I mean, the school issue might be something that you don't want to look at, but what if you were able to help your realtors in low inventory markets, direct them and show them how to do low inventory prospecting, or if in certain markets the buyers were really being in low inventory, the buyer expectations are really difficult right now for the realtor. So as a mortgage professional, if you were able to sit with a realtor and help them with their buyer education and really help the realtor set buyer expectations up front, you're becoming an invaluable resource.
Man, we just get to the really good stuff, and we have to end the broadcast. Dang it all. This is really good. We've got to have you back, Eric, because we just really started touching a lot of the how-dos. Alice, thank you for jumping in there. What?
you never think about that. You know, what are the regulatory? That's that new partnership we were talking about, we're going to be speaking on. Eric, thank you so much for being with us. If you want to check it out, go to www.breakthroughbroker.com. Learn about all the resources and give Eric a call. Eric, what's the best number for our listeners to call you at?
My direct line, anytime, 970-420-1414.
970-420-1414. Give them a call. Thank you, Eric, for being with us. Folks, we're going to have on next week, we're going to have Jessica Peterson here talking to us about social media, and I'm grateful to her introducing us to Eric. Have a great week, everybody. Thank you so much for being a part of the broadcast and telling others about it.
Thank you.
Thank you, Eric.
Thank you. It was awesome. Thanks, guys.
Thank you, bud.
This has been Lickin' on Lending, a weekly mortgage market update with your host, David Lickin of Mortgage Banking Solutions, enabling executives to take their business to the next level. Today's guests were Joe Farr from MBS Quoteline, Andy Schell of Mortgage Banking Solutions, and Alice Alvey, President CMB of Mortgage U. Come by next week, and thank you for listening.